Adam Beasley is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's the senior NFL reporter for ProFootballNetwork.com. You can read his coverage of the Dolphins and all of the NFL at ProFootballNetwork.com. Usually, if Josh Appel is hosting the show, Beasley comes on because they're friendly. I got to twist Beasley's arm, and he's been busy. It's a very busy turn of events for the Dolphins. So thank you for making time for us, Bees. It's nice to reconnect.
No, well, it's a special week. It might be Snoop Huntley week, so I couldn't let that moment pass without spending some time with you, Hawk.
Well, how do they fix this? Let me ask you a different question. Where are the Dolphins right now? Because who were we talking to yesterday that was like, they're in win now? Oh, I think we were playing sound from Adam Schefter or something. Like, yeah. Are they in win now mode still? Because that's what contractually you would believe going into the season. Or are they teetering on the brink of disaster, so they're in survival mode? Like, I don't know where they are right now.
Yeah, and I don't think they'll know for sure until later on this week, and that's when they'll get the results back of various neurological exams that their quarterback Tua Tagovailoa is going to go through this week. I mean, this is like people just, oh yeah, Tua wants to come back, he'll come back. Now maybe he'll be back this week or this year. We'll find out. I mean, certainly it won't be for another three, four weeks until you get through all of the IR window and they got a bye in the middle. So it's a minute until they can even possibly see him on the field again. But if there's news that they don't love that comes back, and certainly Tua doesn't love that comes back from the doctors, then I think that changes this entire dynamic, right? If you know, hey, it's in our best interest, it's in your best interest to shut you down for the year, then I think you got to seriously give some consideration to either, you know, pursuing someone like Ryan Tannehill, who hasn't really been an option, I think, on either side yet, or go into the trade deadline as sellers. And that's going to certainly be painful for Dolphins fans to hear. But you look at their books, 2025 and beyond, they've got a lot of big contracts on those books. And do you want to have all that, the weight of that salary cap crushing down you and go 6-11? So if they get good news, then yes, I'm with you. The season certainly is still within their reach, because you go look at the schedule and the Titans are god awful and the Patriots are god awful and the Colts are god awful. I mean, all those teams aren't very good that they're going to face before Tua's window to return opens. I could absolutely see them going 2-1, even 3-0 during that stretch if Huntley, who I assume will be their quarterback, play as well. But I do think if they get to 1-5 and there's still questions about Tua's health, I absolutely could see them punting on the rest of the season.
And Bees, knowing Tua's, you know, health history with the concussions, because you bring up, you know, Tyler Huntley, he came in, he's been here for a week, but did they miss not bringing in a Dalton, what we saw him do in Carolina, a Wentz, a Flacco, somebody like that? We brought up Ryan Tannehill, like a veteran to back up Tua. Did they have a contingency plan set? Because Skyler was the guy until we found out Skyler wasn't the guy.
Yeah, the plan that they had was wrong, obviously. And I think even McDaniel didn't come out and say it today, but he's kind of hinted at, yeah, we're learning with new information that we're going to have to go in another direction. Paraphrasing, he didn't say that word for word, but that was the gist of what he said. Look, there's a lot of layers to this. And yes, the easy thing would have been said, guys, you blew it, right? March, you had the money to do it. Go and sign, even though he wouldn't have been able to help you these 2 weeks because he's suspended, but go get Jimmy Garoppolo. Go get Sam Darnold. Go get somebody like that you know, can help you in a way that Skylar Thompson and Mike White cannot. But you have to go back and think of where they were in March. And where they were in March was kind of a delicate place with their quarterback. We heard Tua in June get fed up because they hadn't gotten him his contract yet. You go and bring in Jimmy Garoppolo before that contract gets signed. And again, they could have made moves after the deal was done. But then all of a sudden, there's questions immediately. Oh, my God, are you hedging against maybe re-signing Tua? Is this his last year? Is he going to, you know, he struggles for 2-3 weeks. We're going to see a quarterback change. All these questions that the Dolphins wanted no part of being a part of. In 2024, they avoided it by bringing back Mike White and Skylar Thompson. And I don't think they ever thought that their backups would look as bad. Like, Skyler won the job in camp. All right. You know, Mike has had some success in games, but during practice and the preseason games, Skyler was the better player this camp. That's got to tell you something. And if that's what you see on the field, of course, if they had to do it over again, they would have signed someone better at the time. But it just wasn't the reality they had in that moment, and they're paying the price for it.
But how could they look? I mean, watching the game Sunday, Skyler's been there two seasons plus this preseason and training camp. And Mike McDaniel, he's in his third season, and they had 10 days to prepare for Sunday's game. Why did they look so confused? Like, I get having a backup and then he doesn't perform as well as you think he might perform. They looked confused out there, all of them.
Yeah, and it does start with the quarterback. He's got to be the one that gets the play from the coach, relays the play in the huddle to the players, gets them lined up, gets them, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to this offense. And I think you can speak, I mean, it's not just Skylar Thompson. Like, you go look at their splits road versus home. They're a much better offense at home by a touchdown since the start of the 2023 season. A touchdown better of an offense at home versus the road, and that's because of all the communication that's involved and all the timing and all the shifts and motions and, you know, oh my God, the clock's running down and it's, you know, it's we're in Seattle and it's a billion decibels and you don't know what you're doing. Then you throw in a quarterback who did not look, to your point, sure of himself at all. He did not look like he wanted to be on that field at times. He had any, he looked scared and it was just compounding variables. Could his teammates have helped him out? Sure. Could the offensive line figured out the silent count and not jumped off sides and not had all that confusion? Sure. All those things could have helped, but fundamentally I think they had a quarterback that was not able to execute their offense home or away. And then just the when the snowball started coming down the hill on the road with that crowd falling behind early, he really had no chance.
And Beans, did Mike McDaniel, my thing was that I honestly, before we were talking about last week, they're going to run the ball. They're not going to put the game on Skyler's shoulders. They're going to run the ball. They had a couple good, I remember a series, what was it? Jeff Wilson for 8, A-10 for 13. Then they throw three times in a row. Like, I've seen Shanahan run the ball over and over. I've seen Dan McVay, this little offensive guru thing. Matt LaFleur with Malik Wilson out there, they ran the hell out of the ball. Like, it was that a misstep with Mike McDaniel not just loading up and running the ball because he has good backs?
Yeah, and not just running, but running up the gut. I mean, this is a team that we might talk about today in his press conference is built on the outside zone running scheme. That is the foundation of his offense. Well, it's no secret that's what they want to do, and every single defense knows what they want to do, so they're flying to overcommit. They know that offense has to run the ball. They know they love running the outside. We're just going to put our dudes there, and we're going to overcommit. And when we saw them, you know, have cutbacks or, you know, design runs up the middle, they had success. Why did they get away from it? I don't know. And I think this is like gut check time for a lot of people in this organization. And Skylar Thompson, I think, is kind of a symptom of the broader disease, and they need to show that they're able to adapt. They're able to take new information. Hey, and Alec Ingold kind of hinted at it today when he spoke with reporters, we gotta find our new identity because what worked in 2023 isn't working in 2024. I hope that's not lip service, right? I hope that's really what they're doing. That's what how they're spending this next week determining what their new identity is, because if you continue to do this, and I'm gonna tell you this now, like, assuming Snoop's a starter on Monday, which I think most kind of do at this point, if they try to run these timing misdirection kind of to a, you know, fake handoff, pitch one way, roll the other way, and all these things that have been, you know, the bread and butter of this offense, they try to run that with their fourth quarterback in four games, it's going to look the same as what we saw in Seattle. It might be a little bit better because they're at home and they're just a better offense at home, but it's going to be the same issues that we've seen. They need to adjust to what they have, the reality of what they have in 2024. They're going to be in big trouble.
Right, but Bees, because Crowder and I have gone back and forth, and I think you and I discussed it on Game Day Uncensored. I mean, now, add to the fact that Teron Armstead is day-to-day, we really don't know his status, and he's been injured two of the three games anyways. I don't think they're built to run. As crazy as that sounds, McDaniel's saying that's their identity, outside zone reads, but I don't think they're built to run the football and to sustain drives by running the football. So how do you change your identity? To your point, they need to find a new one, or to Alec Ingold's, But how do you change your identity to be a run football team to stay afloat without your starting quarterback when you don't trust running the football because your offense isn't built to do it?
Yeah, and I think you're hitting on a good point there, Solana. You know, believe you can or actually doing it are two totally different things. Like, you know, I absolutely believe that if they run the ball, if they made a firm commitment to run downhill on teams, they'd be able to do it. They've got, I mean, I know there's a lot of crap that the interior offensive line gets, but they weren't the biggest problem on, like, their tight ends aren't blocking right now, right? Their wide receivers are getting mauled by linebackers when they try to run outside because teams know how to beat that system. Just load up and go downhill. You got a fullback. You've got, I mean, we assume Mostert will be back this week. You got Achane. You got Jalen Wright. I understand what you're saying, that on paper, hey, maybe we got some questions whether we could. No, I am far more confident in their ability to run the ball and maybe do some misdirection with the zone, you know, read option, things like that with Huntley, than dropping back and throwing the ball 40, 45 times. I think that is their worst possible option. I think if they do that, if that's the game plan, they take the Seattle, they're going to lose, and they're going to lose handily.
Do they win Monday night?
Yes, because the Titans are so bad, man. Like, oh, my God, are they? I mean, Will Levis is, holy mackerel, is he bad. And not only that, like, you look at their next two opponents, the Titans and the Patriots, they're horrendous matchups. Like, they're great matchups for the Dolphins. Like, the Dolphins are terrible matchups for them, particularly if Bradley Chubb comes back in week five, which I think is a real possibility. But, like those are like the Titans and the Patriots are maybe the two worst offensive lines in football from a pass protection standpoint. I know people lose their mind about the Dolphins, and that was a bad game, certainly in Seattle. A lot of contributing factors led to all those hits, but including hanging on the football too long. But no, like the Titans and Patriots are going to get sacked like eight times each in those games, unless they just do a quick pass and run the football all game. I as crazy as it sounds, like if they're able to tailor their offense to Huntley, and they do the things that we've been talking about for the last 15 minutes, they're going to be 3-2 because the next two opponents are dog beat bleep. They're really, really bad teams they're going to play.
Super Bowl, baby. Super Bowl. Hey, Adam Beasley, ProFootballNetwork.com.
I know you got out of here, but it's nuts. Like, if you get to 3-3 and whatever it is and then get your quarterback back, you're fine. Like it's not going to be.
Honestly, if they go 2-2 with a backup quarterback, that's all you can ask of a backup quarterback. Like, that's great. The question is, did you see anything in the Buffalo game? And I understand Tennessee's bad. Did you see anything in the Buffalo game or anything in the Seattle game that would lead you to believe that they actually can win a game? Because I'm imagining there's somebody on Tennessee radio going, yeah, these Dolphins are absolute dog bleep.
Those two games specifically, no. But I don't think, like, past performance is, you know, guarantee a future performance, right? Whatever that saying is in finance. I think they're going to get better. The coaching staff they have, the talent they have in this team is too good not to get better. And honestly, Hawk, I'm going to tell you this. If they don't, there needs to be serious repercussions. Like, if you can't figure out how to beat those two teams with their quarterback situation and their composition of their rosters, if you can't figure out how to beat those two teams, we might need to have a broader conversation.
Well, I'm here to have it. Adam Beasley, ProFootballNetwork.com. You like snorkeling?
I like eating mahi.
Right, but you don't like actually like paying for the tour to go snorkeling and then, you know, going 4 feet under the water and snorkeling.
In a different world.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't really put myself in positions where I pay to maybe die. So,
right.
No,
well, that's scuba diving. I don't think you could die snorkeling, but like snorkeling just seems like a way, because there is no chance of dying. Like, it's not even that you're being like, oh, I'm risky guy who likes to do crazy things. Like, you're in a swimming pool and they let me have $400.
You're enjoying
this
nature.
Thing in your mouth that 1,000 other tourists have jammed in their mouth in the last month and a half.
seeing animals in their natural habitat.
Yeah, I've got an internet access. I've got a high definition television. I can see all those things without getting my hair wet. I'm fine. Okay,
I'm with Beasley. Beasley's my guy. I'm snorkeling. See you, Beasley.
All right, guys.